Thanks, Pastor Greg. I just want to say real quick, definitely hands down, Pastor Greg gets the Best Dressed Pastor Award. Can we just give Pastor... That's a seriously handsome guy, guys. I don't know how blessed you are to get to look at a pastor that's that handsome every Sunday. So, hey, I read your book on my flight down from Portland yesterday. And I am not kidding. I cried when I read your book. Now, I have two kids, and ever since I became a dad, crying's not as big of a trick as it used to be. But I will tell you, your book messed me up. And being here today, I gotta say, sincerely from the bottom of my heart, I love you guys. I love your church. I love Abundant Life. I love the city of Cupertino because I understand now the hurting that people are going through every single day, the people that whose cubicles you pass by when you're in the office, and you just kind of see the plastered-on smile on their face. You don't know what that is plastered over. And this book does such a good job of showing you, peeling away that mask and showing what's going on under that mask. So I don't know if you guys have had a chance to read your book yet. I hope you have. It's a really good book. It will make you cry like it made me cry. If you have been saved for very long, if you've been a church attender for very long, you know this scripture, to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Now, I dropped out of community college. I was getting my business degree, and I dropped out of school to start this publishing ministry with my dad when I was 20. And this was the reason why. And Pastor Greg has dedicated the last almost 32 years now to ministry. And this scripture is the reason why. To go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation so that every man, woman, and child could know that there's a Savior that loves them. And how many of you guys passionately believe that there's a Savior that loves you and wants to heal you and restore you? You guys, we all know that Jesus is alive, right? And that Jesus wants to change your life, amen? Right. However, most people in this church, when it comes time for the rubber to meet the road, that is just a super scary thought. To actually have to broach that subject with somebody I care about, with my family member, with my sister or my dad. It's a frightening thought to try and pierce that veil and begin to talk to them about the most important thing in my life, the thing that changed me and set me free. A lot of us today, we feel really theologically confused. We know that Jesus loves us. We know that Jesus is good. But what if we get into this conversation and you start asking me questions I don't know the answer to? Number one, I don't want to look dumb. And number two, I don't want to give you bad intel. And then finally, some of us, you know, you kind of get into that moment and Your adrenaline's up because you're about to kind of lay it all on the line, and all of a sudden your brain freezes and your tongue swells up inside your mouth and the words just aren't coming out right, and you're stuttering and you get all nervous, and then this isn't going well, so you just pull the plug, right? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been in that moment. You know, you're like, when I asked my wife out for the first time, that's pretty much how it went. It was, you know, and so that's how our evangelism encounters oftentimes go. The people in our lives that we're trying to talk to about Jesus, they, for some reason, I don't get this, they so often feel judged when we try to talk to them about Jesus. I'm not saying you're a bad guy. I'm saying you're an imperfect guy in need of a Savior, just like me. But I think what it is I think when you start to talk to them about Jesus, I think the Holy Spirit begins to work in their heart. And I think you get this sense of conviction. But I think sometimes they interpret that. They're not familiar with that sense of conviction. I think they interpret it as judgment. That's my take on it. It's just my theory. But I think it's conviction that they're interpreting as judgment, because I don't think we really do judge them, guys. We all know that we're all sinners. It's socially awkward that we have these unwritten rules in society that you don't talk about politics and you don't talk about religion. So right off the bat, we're breaking an unwritten contract when we try to talk to people about Jesus. And finally, I think for the last at least 50 years, the media has just done an awesome job of saying that Christianity is irrelevant, that Jesus is the equivalent of Santa Claus, that Christianity is superstition. Am I right? So what we're going to do is we're going to show you today a tool and a technique that's going to equip you to share Jesus with the people in your life. Now, we call this tool, we call it an evangelism engine. And this evangelism engine is awesome, guys. Like, if you left your car on in the parking lot at the beginning of service, when I'm done with this message and when Pastor Greg dismisses you, you're going to go out and your car is going to be running right where you left it, right? And this is the evangelism equivalent of that. This is just going to be doing evangelism in your community all over Cupertino, regardless of whether or not you ever remember it's happening. You can be in your small group. You can be on vacation with your family. And we're going to be preaching the gospel to every single person in the city of Cupertino. It's going to run 24/7, 365. It's going to demonstrate the relevance of the gospel in the 21st century because it's the stories of our own lives. And it leaves people feeling valued and loved, not judged. Now, I'm going to play for you. This is a video of a lady we met at a book launch just like this. She got saved reading. We were doing a launch up in Portland, Oregon. She somehow got a copy of a book that we had published in San Diego, and she got saved reading that book. That's cool, right? You guys, this woman worked in the adult entertainment industry up in Portland. She was addicted to multiple substances. You can't get any more, you know, if you're going to, you know, categorize people and use demographics to indicate likelihood of acceptance, this woman is not in your target market. You get what I'm saying? So, and she's not the only one, guys. There are thousands of people just like her that are getting these books every single month. Now, I want to play another video for you.
And so, what's he planning on doing?
He starts the Dream Center on the 8th.
Guys, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's doing it. And he's overcoming the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimonies. And these are our proof. Now, Matthew 13:44, I'm going to get into the word for a little bit, says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had, and he bought that field. Now, so often in church growing up, I heard this sermon preached this way, that if you want to find Jesus, you have to set aside everything that could ever get in the way of you finding Jesus. You have to sell all that you have. You can't have anything that's more important in your life than the single-minded pursuit of Jesus if you ever want to find him. And they would quote this scripture as proof of that. But there's a problem with that. It says that he went and sold all that he had and bought the field. How easy is it for you to sell your drug and alcohol addiction? How easy is it for you to sell the pain and hurt of sexual abuse? You have to have something of value to sell it. Am I right? The other thing is this, the word kingdom there. Is Jesus the kingdom or is Jesus the king? You see, the word kingdom is not a person. The kingdom is the place where the king rules. So Luke says, again, Jesus is talking, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of heaven, which, by the way, is within you, is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and he bought the field. Who are we actually in this scripture? Guys, we are the treasure buried in the field. Do you see that? We are buried alive in our drug and alcohol addiction. We are buried alive in our insecurity, in our self, in our utter lack of self-worth. And Jesus, through his death on the cross, went and sold all he had and paid the price so that he could buy our field, buy our addiction, buy our hurt and our pain. And now he owns the field. And for the people in this room today, you have been pulled out of that field, pulled out of your grave. And Jesus has set you free. He has cleaned you off because he recognized you as a treasure when nobody else did. Says 2 Corinthians says that God who knew no, or God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. And that again is speaking to Jesus selling all that he had. He, for eternity past, had never known the weight of sin. Can you imagine having spent your entire life never having that kind of looking over your shoulder feeling like someone's going to find out what you did? For eternity past, he had not known sin. But from that point of the cross on, not that he ever sinned, but he became sin. And he traded that freedom to buy us. So guys, Jesus bought the field. He owns the field. He has already paid the price for the field. And there's still treasure out in that field. And that's what this book is about, guys. We are sharing our story of how Jesus has rescued us and pulled us out of our own graves. And how he wants to do exactly the same thing for you. Just like in that Emily video. And just like in the story of that guy whose son was set free from drug and alcohol addiction. Guys, there are thousands, there are tens of thousands of people just in Cupertino that need to hear these stories, that are still in exactly the field that you were stuck in, exactly the grave that you were buried in. And they don't know that Jesus owns the field that they're buried in. And he's just waiting to pull them out. If they will let him pull them out of their grave, he will pull them out of their grave and clean them up. So we've been doing this for 13 years now. We've been writing these testimony books since 2004. And frankly, we've done it every wrong way you can do it. But we've learned some things as we've gone along, thankfully. We've learned how not to make the same mistake more than two or three times. And so we've come up with some key strategic elements that help to make your book effective. The first thing is the cover art. We've deliberately stayed away from praying hands and glowing crosses and doves coming out of rainbows. And we try really hard to go with something local, something not religious. And so we literally use the name of Cupertino right in the cover. So when somebody picks up this book, they say, hey, I live in Cupertino. That's really cool. I might actually know some of the people in this book. So there's a local feel to it. The title and subtitle, again, talking about that. The thickness of the book is deliberate. We didn't want to write, you know, a massive dictionary, because who reads the dictionary? And we didn't want to, you know, come up with like a little stapled together pamphlet that people just throw away. It needs to have heft so it has value. There are seven stories in the book because the scripture says that out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. But it is rationally impossible to disregard the testimonies of seven people who say Jesus saved me and set me free and healed me and transformed me. Finally, there's a $14.95 price tag on the back of every copy. Nobody ever pays that. But if you get a book that has no price on the back, you just got a free book. If you were given a book that has a $15 price tag on the back, you were given a $15 book. Do you understand the difference? All right. Now, let's say that every single person in this room right now, you make a commitment before the Lord that you are going to do a half hour of spiritual evangelism every single month. Okay? This is my vow, right here, right now. You're familiar with that song, right? The song always drove me nuts because it was basically contradicting itself. You guys might not know that song. It's an old, like, I think it's Russ Taff or something like that. Let's say we commit right now to a half hour of spiritual evangelism every month. That would equate to about 250 man hours a month of evangelism. But in the Emily video, Emily talks about how her friend's daughter got a copy of the book. She read the book, gave it to her mom who read the book, and then gave it to Emily who read the book. So that's three people reading one book. And then in the father's video, he talks about the four members of his family all reading the book in 48 hours. That's a single copy of a book. So I have mountains of anecdotal evidence. I can't prove this because I'd have to track down every copy and find out who read every copy. I can't prove this, but I can give you lots of anecdotes that suggest that each copy of our book gets passed on and read by approximately three individuals in its first year. That's per copy. If it takes you about 5 hours to read a copy of the book, that's 15 man hours that are spent reading every copy that we print. So if we were to raise support for 250 copies to go out to this community every month, that's 3,750 man hours. Now, there are a lot of really smart people in this room. I think there's some Stanford students. Can anybody tell me what our multiple is here? It's an exponential increase, right? That's a lot more. 3,750 is a lot more than 250, I'm pretty sure. I don't go to Stanford, but I think that's true. So, guys, that's man hours of evangelism that are happening every single month. So it's an enormous increase. So the problem is, what do you do with 250 copies every month? Well, we thought of that because we've been doing this for 13 years. We had some time. So we established our own in-house direct mail department, and we're going to sit down with Pastor Greg, and we're going to find the areas that you want to target as your highest priority for reaching. And we're going to buy all of those addresses, and we're going to begin direct mailing your book to every single home in that area. So it looks like this. Imagine a guy in your community comes home from work one day after a long day of pounding code, and he opens up his mailbox, and there's a copy of your book sitting in his mailbox. And it says, "True Stories from Cupertino, California." And he says, "Hey, I live in Cupertino, California. My family goes to school here. This is awesome." Takes the book inside, and he begins thumbing through the pages. And in Emily's story, you heard her say that she read the first story and she put it down. So let's say that happens here. So the guy comes in, he reads the first story, amazing story, then he realizes Golden State's playing. I don't know why anybody would watch a Golden State game, but so he puts your book down, and he turns on the TV, and quickly forgets about your book, right? Well, Emily admitted this happens, right? I wish I could say that they read the whole book through the first sitting, and then they come to your church the very next Sunday. I can't say that because Emily just admitted that doesn't happen. So what we do is, a month later, we send them a postcard in the mail, and it's got the artwork to your church on the cover there. And it's to remind them, hey, you got that book. Make sure you give that book a read. So he comes home from work a month later, and he sees this postcard, and he goes, oh, yeah, I read the first story in that book. That was really interesting. I want to finish that. So he goes in the house, and he picks up the book, and he finishes reading it. Just like Emily, he reads the rest of the book in one sitting. And he's got tears in his eyes, and he says, baby, I didn't even know this church existed. There's a church right down the road from our house. It's a 5-minute drive. And there are some amazing things happening in these people. I think we should go check it out. So his wife reads the book and she says, yeah, this is amazing. I think this is something we would be interested in. But again, you know, life happens, and I don't know how many things you sincerely plan on doing at some point. But I've got a laundry list of them that I have not yet accomplished, and they've been on that list for a very long time. So a month later, we send them another postcard to remind them. Now, this postcard is exactly the same postcard as the first one we sent them, but it does something totally different. If you've ever taken a marketing class, you might be familiar with the term called schema. And schema is when an image has meaning associated with it, more meaning than just the image would have. An example of that would be a stop sign. When you see a stop sign, you don't have to sound out the word stop. You just see a stop sign, and your right foot automatically shifts left, and you stop the car. This postcard does exactly the same thing. When you see that postcard, your mind flashes back to the scene in your book where the guy that he was crying about, when Leilani is opening up about her abuse to her counselor, and you just that emotional gut-wrenching feeling that you felt when you read that book. You get that exact same physical response just by seeing the cover art of this book. Some of you guys have experienced that. When you see the poster for Saving Private Ryan, you go, oh. You know what I'm talking about. That's what this does. It reactivates the emotion that that book created the first time. And a guy comes into his house after he gets the second postcard and he says, baby, we need to check out church. So we send them one more postcard the following month. We send them three follow-up postcards after they get their book because there's an emotional process that people have to go through. Going to church is a big decision, especially if you haven't been there before, especially if it's church where you don't know anybody. It's a huge emotional commitment that you have to go through. So we give them lots of time to make that decision, and we just kind of keep reminding them and gently prodding them that, hey, we would love to come meet you. If you turn the postcard over, there's a map to your church, there's service times, there's your church's address, there's a phone number. I think that's Pastor Greg's cell phone. I thought that said AOL.com for a second. I was about to freak out. I was like, wow, you guys should update that. So they have everything they need to make a decision and to find you guys and to know exactly when to show up on a Sunday morning. And we're completely putting the decision-making power in their hands. So that's you know, a single person, how that works on a micro level. Let's go to a macro level. Let's say we raise support for 250 books a month today. So let's say we start mailing out books in July, which is what's going to happen. We would mail out 250 books to 250 unique addresses in Cupertino. In August, we mail out 250 more books to 250 more unique addresses, and we mail 250 follow-up postcards to the homes that we mailed to in July. And then in September, we do the same thing, 250 new books go to 250 new homes. So now we've reached 750 homes. That's an entire development. And we send out reminder postcards to the July and the August homes. And then in October, we do it again. And we send out July's third reminder postcard and August and September's second and first. Now, in November, we stop mailing postcards to the July homes because you do become a stalker at some point, and we don't want Abundant Life to be known as stalker church. So we're going to skip July homes and just start mailing to August, September, and October homes. So that by the end of 24 months, if we kept up 250 books a month for 24 months, we would touch 6,000 homes, which are occupied by 18,000 people with 24,000 touches. That's a whole stinking lot of evangelism, guys. So to help you guys track the progress of this effort, we're going to email Pastor Greg a prayer and progress report. And this is what 200 pins looks like. This is East Portland, Oregon, right here. 200 pins on a Google map. And every month we mail you a new map. We change the color of the pins so you can see the progress. And you can see that your map is just saturating. We're going to find the area of town that you want to touch, and we're going to start mailing books to every single home. Now, here's what's cool. I understand you guys have a prayer ministry. I love that, guys. So many churches right now have left prayer by the wayside. And I love that you have a prayer ministry. Because what I think is really fun to do is to go to that neighborhood and begin to walk around that neighborhood and pray over the homes where there is a copy of your book sitting on that coffee table right now. And begin to say, Jesus, I pray that you would open the eyes of the unbeliever, that they could see the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you would begin to bring back to mind the story of that touched that person's heart, Jesus. And you can begin to pray with so much more purpose, so much more specificity over these homes. The other thing that's cool is you can say, hey, my coworker lives in that house right there. He just got a copy of our book. And you can see him on Monday morning. You can say, hey, did you get a copy of that book? Man, what did you think? Was that crazy? And what you would normally hesitate to have a spiritual conversation with somebody, but you can't have a conversation about that book without it eventually turning spiritual. Does that make sense? So it's an awesome, easy segue to start talking about Jesus. So here's what you get with your sponsorship every month. You get a copy of the book. You get the labor involved in creating the book. You get the postage to mail a book, which is not inexpensive. You get the three postcard follow-up, and then we send you that prayer and progress report map. So what's it going to take to reach Cupertino? These are the breakdowns of kind of with our experience, what we would want to see the spread look like to get 250 books a month. So we need 2 people to come up with 25 books a month, 11 people to come up with 10, 14 people to come up with 5 books a month. And you can see those numbers there. That's kind of what it would take to get the 250 number. I think it's extremely doable in a church of this size. So going back to kind of the things that keep us from talking to our friends about Jesus, this process is obviously not intimidating. You can continue to be as theologically confused as you want to be. I would encourage you to work on that because I think Jesus wants to show you some cool stuff. But it won't stop you from preaching the gospel. And honestly, some people just, you know, aren't good talkers. The people in Cupertino aren't going to feel judged when we give them this book because we're telling them about all of the hurts and wounds in our lives. It's not socially awkward. They're going to feel cared for. We just gave them a $15 present. And they're seeing the relevance of the gospel in the 21st century through our own lives. So go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, guys. I think we can do this. I think we can do it here in Cupertino, California. Now, I want to share with you one final testimony, and then Pastor Greg's going to come up and talk to you a bit. This is a video from Nampa, Idaho, I believe. And this is a guy's story here.
I'm John Spargan. Our pastor's wife called me down to the church one day and into the bottom of the church where we were talking, and she had a lady there that asked me to see me. And so I talked to her, and she put her arms around me and said that she was glad to meet me, that my story in the book had saved her life. And she just cried. It was something that was very moving to me. I was just glad that I was available to talk to her.
This is the year of Love Does. And we have 4 markers. If you're a guest today, or if you're just not completely aware, we have 4 markers that we live by here at Abundant Life. Markers that we believe point to our relationship with Jesus Christ and our response to that. The first marker is identity. That when Jesus came into our life, we changed. As the Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old is gone, new has come. We have a new identity. We're sons and daughters of God now. Our second marker is family. That's what we have right here. That we're not saved into an isolation, a one-on-one with God, although we do have one-on-one, but we're saved together as His family. The third marker is purpose. And today we're talking a lot about our purpose. What does that family do? Do we just sit around and have Thanksgiving meals together? It's kind of nice, but there's something greater. And that's because there are more buried treasure in the field. And the last marker is sacrifice. To fulfill that purpose, there's a cost to that. We believe that. We're not afraid of it. We don't run from it. Sometimes it can be uncomfortable. Jesus was uncomfortable, to say the least, when he went to the cross. But it was worth it. I wonder how worth the souls are in our community. I know what they're worth to Jesus, his blood and his body that we shared today in the communion. As Christians, those buried treasures need to be worth as much to us as they were to Jesus. That's what today is about. And for some of you, maybe you are a guest today or relatively new, and you're thinking, man, I came to church today and I got a sales pitch. That's not really what I was counting on. Let me tell you this. There's nothing that I will ever apologize for more than pleading for the sake of lost souls. If you've been in this church any length of time, I would almost guarantee you this. You have never heard me one time say, we need your money so that we can survive. But every February, I with boldness and lack of apology say, we need your money because that's missions month. And that's the month where we make our pledges and we send money overseas and we send it around our nation. And this church is awesome at that. Right now we're giving just over $21,000 a month to global missions. Not one penny stays here. This is the same kind of project. I will never apologize for asking us to fulfill one of our markers, to sacrifice a little bit so that people can know the gospel of Jesus Christ. I ran our numbers. If we could do 400 books, we would reach every single household in Cupertino in just 4 years. Actually more. There's about 18,000 homes, not including the new developments. But at 400 books a month, that would be 19,200 books delivered to the door, not including postcards, in 4 years' time. We could do that. And right now, I mentioned to you, there's $21,000 being poured into global missions a month. And you know, to be honest with you, we've done a really good job with the world. We haven't done a great a job locally. That's what today's about. It's starting to bring now an emphasis to our own neighborhood. And this is a first effort. The church board has already made a commitment. Nathan mentioned 250 books on the slide that a church like us could do. Well, the church board and I, we talked, and we want to kickstart that by committing to the first 200 books. Now, that's not to say, oh, great, we only have 50 more to go. No, we want to do more. We want to do more than that. At 20 bucks a month, that's just two books. That's about the same cost as 1 pound of Phil's coffee. Phil's souls. That's about the cost of one IMAX movie. Guardians of the Galaxy, souls. I know you get the point. Sometimes we'll really indulge ourselves and enjoy things. And enjoying things is nice, it's fun. But we'll indulge ourselves in those things. But when it comes to souls, we sometimes feel ourselves tighten up. This is not even about people coming to Abundant Life. Can I just tell you, if people read our book and they go to Valley Church or Hillview down the street, I don't care. We got to be kingdom-minded, not Abundant Life-minded. Amen? When we see Jesus face to face, he's not going to say, well done, you built Abundant Life. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, you built my kingdom. I want to do this because we need to reach our city. Nathan and Sandra and I were talking last night as we had dinner, and we talked about the vision of Steve Jobs and Apple Computer as we drove by the gigantic donut. What if Steve Jobs was a Christian? With that kind of vision, that kind of energy, that kind of just stick-to-it attitude. What if he got a book those 35, 40 years ago? I'll tell you this. There's a generation of people that we don't even know their names yet that are changing, that are going to change the world. There are people right now changing the world in the offices, just in our own community. And they need Jesus. Church, we can do this. And it's not about Abundant Life. Not one penny stays in this house. It all goes out. What will we do? We're already starting with 200. If we could double that and do 400, and that's even a little less than Nathan's estimates. If we could do 450 or 500, we could knock out Cupertino in less than 4 years. That'd be awesome. I want to pray a prayer, and then we're going to show a video, and then we're going to close. And the video will show us how to walk through the card that's been on some of the chairs. And if you didn't get a card, there'd be at the table, right? Okay. If you somehow, if you're in a row and you didn't see your card, there'll be plenty in the foyer. and you can pick that up. But let's live by what we say we believe. We're a people of identity. We're a people of family. We're a people of purpose, and we're a people of sacrifice. And it's worth it. Because souls are worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. Jesus thought you were worth it. He thought the people outside this building are worth it. I want to think they're as worth it as he does. So let's pray. And I'm going to ask God just to touch us to the core, to be generous and full of passion to reach the souls of our own community. Lord Jesus, I thank you and praise you for this project. It's a new thing for us. We stepped out and said, let's try something. And God, I feel in my heart, though we may never be able to quantify exactly all the effect of what this book will do and the seven stories of our own people that are within its pages. But God, we don't always know the results. We leave that to you, and we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us right now and to come upon the work of this book as it goes out into the community starting in July. Lord, I'm moved this morning, and I don't think it's by accident that my friend Ronnie Pierce is here today, a junior high student from the late 80s, shows up today and says, now I'm 40, and what I learned in junior high has never left me until today. Lord, I never knew that. But your Spirit has done work in him for the last almost 30 years. These books are going to go into homes and they're going to be read by people. And we may never know what work is being done in people's hearts, but you'll know. And one day we'll know when we see you face to face. God, let us just be people who are willing to plant seed. I pray that you'll touch our hearts now, Lord. Whether it's one book, five books, 10 books, 25 books, whatever it is that we feel that we can do and what our faith allows us to do. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would touch our hearts right now to do something significant for the buried treasure in your field, the field that you thought so valuable that you gave your life for it. I pray in Jesus' name, touch our hearts, melt our resistance, remove any of the arguments that are happening in our brains right now. And I know they're there. But what about? But what if? But I can't afford it. Lord, help us to just remove all those distractions and to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, I thank you and praise you. And I dedicate this day and the distribution of this book and the spreading of the stories throughout this community to you, Lord, and thanking you for what you've done in our lives. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Let's play the video.
Simply your name. Second line is an email address. Third line is your phone number. Then please sign and date the card. Decide how many books a month that you'd like to sponsor. One book a month is $10 a month. Two books a month is $20 a month. Three books is $30 a month. Five books is $8.20 a piece or $41 a month. And 10 books is $7.50 a piece. Remember, your donation is completely tax deductible. If you would like to use a paper check, just take a paper check and fill it out like you would normally, then simply write void across it. Please fill below this line only if you're using a credit card. That's the address where your credit card bill arrives. There's your credit card number. There's the security code. 3 digits on the back of MasterCard and Visa, and 4 digits on the front of American Express. Please remember, sign and date your card, regardless of whether you're using a paper check or a credit card or a debit card. We need all the cards to be signed and dated. Let us know what day of the month you would like your sponsorship processed, and that's the day your donations will be processed. You'll never be surprised by this date. Please note, you can cancel your sponsorship at any time. All you need to do is go to testimonybooks.com and click the My Sponsorship link. And tell us what you want to do. You can cancel, you can increase, you can decrease, or you can postpone. Let us know exactly what you'd like to do, and we will help you with it. If you forget this website, simply call the church and say, I'd like to talk to the publishing company about my sponsorship. They'll give you our phone number, and you can call anytime. We will respond to you immediately. Please, do not take your monthly sponsorship card home. Turn it in today at the book table, and we're going to do something special. Whatever amount of books you sponsor, you're going to get free matching bonus books. So today only, if you turn in your sponsorship card and you sponsored 5 books, we're going to give you 5 books. If you sponsored 10 books, we're going to give you 10 free books today. If you sponsored 25, we're going to give you 25. Remember, your sponsorship card must be turned in today. So head back to the table. There will be somebody there to help you. They'll go over your card and they'll give you your matching bonus books. Thank you for partnering with the Great Commission Project to reach your city for Christ.
Amen. That's pretty exciting, huh? What a cool opportunity that we get to participate in. If you'd stand with me, we're just going to sing a closing chorus before we go. Don't forget to grab the information card, that card you need to fill out. Right out in the foyer, you're going to have an opportunity to hand it in. Let's just embrace the same love that set the captives free is calling us. Let's sing this. You're calling
us to the cross. You're calling us to the cross one more time. You're calling us to the cross again. You're calling us to the cross. Say the love that set the captives free. Say the love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified, is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. One more time, let's sing the same love. The same love that set the captive free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide. The same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name.
Calling us by name. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would go from this place full of the presence of God. Lord, your Spirit is here. I pray, Jesus, that you would speak to us right now, God, about what we can do, how we can reach this area. Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity just to be connected to this community, to have the stories of what you've done in our lives go throughout this area of Cupertino and God, beyond. I pray, Father, that you'd be glorified in our actions, in our words, our deeds, our heart. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful...
Please. see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.